So the reality is that some days are more special than others. That's just a fact. That there are some days where you know that you know that you know that you know that you're doing the right thing at the right time, at the right place, with the right people in the right way. Those days are special. Those days are holy. Those are the days that when we tell the stories of our life, we have a way of mentioning those days. And an example of one of those days where you know that you know that you know that you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people in the right way, might be the birth of your children, for instance. Children are a blessing from the Lord. They are. They are a blessing from the Lord. And we know that on the day of their birth, that is a holy day. That is a special day. God has done something for you as a family that only He can do. Only He can create life and cause it to grow. And so the birthdays of our children, for instance, are a holy day. Your wedding is a holy day, in the right place, at the right time, with the right people, doing the right thing. That you almost kind of feel that if that had to be the last day that you were going to live, that that wouldn't be a bad day to end it on. You know, those are special days. The day that you are baptized, I would submit, is also a holy day. The right place, the right time, with the right people, doing the right things in the right way. And that's what we're celebrating today. Today is a day where we're acknowledging people publicly professing their faith in Jesus Christ. And the dynamic that we are going to explore just briefly today is this. It can be summarized in this statement. That God has made something possible that some people have made private, that the church is making public. God has made possible something that people have made private that the church is making public. I'm talking about salvation. God has made salvation possible. It's not something we can do for ourselves, or else it wouldn't be salvation. That some people have received by faith, and they've made that decision privately. That was just between them and the Lord. That the church makes public through baptism. God has made salvation possible. People have made that personal. The church makes that decision public. That's what we're doing today. That's exactly what we're doing today. That some days are more special than others because God has made salvation possible. Some people have made that private, and the church is what makes that decision public. We know from Scripture that God makes salvation possible. If there is one verse in the Bible that you had to memorize when you were a child, even if you weren't raised in church, you might be familiar with this verse, because if you've ever attended a football game or a baseball game, you've probably seen this verse. And it's the verse that is probably the clearest synopsis of the fact that God has made salvation possible. And it's found, of course, in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Every time the Bible talks about death, it's talking about separation. If you're on a diet, you are dead to double stuffed Oreos. There should be a perfect wall of separation between you and polyunsaturated fat expressed in the power of a double stuffed cookie. You should be dead to that. That's what the Bible means. You should be separated from fatty foods if you're actually on a diet. Unless, of course, you're not on a diet, in which case you are not separated from fatty foods. But every time the Bible talks about death, think separation. This verse says that whoever believes in Him, in Jesus Christ, God's Son, should not be separated from God, but will have eternal life. Nothing in this life or in the life to come, according to this passage, can separate us from the love of God that is found in Jesus Christ. Verse 17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn or punish the world, but in order that the world might be saved or kept safe through Him. I think if we were honest with ourselves this morning, there's a part of us that would agree with the thought that if God wanted to condemn, if He wanted to punish, that if there it was one entity or one person or one being that could punish righteously, it would be God. And yet this verse says that that is not His desire. That is not His desire. That is not His wish to punish or condemn, even though He could. That is not His desire or His wish. He did not come, He did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. This is the heart and soul of what it means to be a Christian, that you place your personal faith in the fact that God could punish you if He wanted to, but he's chosen not to, and instead he has sent the peace offering of his Son, that by faith in Jesus Christ, we have something that we cannot provide for ourselves. Salvation is possible. The question is, will we make it personal? Will we make it private? Is it a decision that we're willing to make? Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 says this: Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Jesus was separated from the love of his Father for our sake. This is what the Bible teaches. And those of us who are baptized are buried under the water and stop breathing just for a moment, and then they come back out of the water as a symbol, as a picture of the death of Jesus Christ, and then coming back alive from the dead. When we're baptized, we start out dry, we go under the water, and then we come back different. We're wet, we're splooshy. And this is what we see with Jesus. He would start out alive on the cross, he was laid in the tomb, and he came back alive from the dead, never to die again, living a new life given to him by his Father. Continuing in Romans chapter 6, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. Baptism is a symbol of our understanding that Jesus died for us, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The heart and soul of the gospel is that we die to our sin, we are separated from our sin, because we are united with God, and then we walk a new life in the power of God. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. If we were celebrating this morning a person's ability to make a good life-affirming decision to become a person of faith and then maintain that walk of faith for a prolonged period of time, that would not be a baptism. That would be a celebration of someone who is living a good moral life. What we're celebrating this morning is the fact that God is and has made something possible for us, and that we choose to believe it, and that to the best of our ability, we are going to live a life that is alive to God and dead to sin, but we understand that there is still forgiveness available to us. This is not a celebration of someone who's made a good decision and has been able to maintain it through good moral strength and effort. This is a celebration of the fact that God is doing something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. The folks who are being baptized this morning are not saying that they are good moral people. What they're saying is that they're dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. And with his help, they are going to live a life that looks that way. This summer, I had the privilege of spending a lot of time with young people here in town in Griswold at the Summer Rec program. And one of the things that I kind of took upon myself during Summer Rec was cleaning the cafeteria tables after the little Super Troopers had moved on after lunch and after their snack time. Anywhere from 130 to 170 kids every day, two snacks and a lunch every day. And they also did arts and crafts on these cafeteria tables at the Griswold Middle School in the cafetorium there. And being who I am, I'm just happiest if I'm in charge of cleaning. I'm just happiest if I'm the guy that makes it look the way it's supposed to look. And I noticed as I was cleaning the tables this summer that we had a little bottle of the chemical that they provided for us, just like a high-powered Windex or something, in a rag. And we wipe all the tables down, 20, 30 tables, a lot of tables, hundreds of kids. And we found that that was good for cookie crumbs and maybe even a little bit of jelly. But when it came to the real deal, the juice that stained the tables, or the magic markers that ran off the end of the paper, or the glue, or whatever it was they were doing for arts and crafts, when it came to something that was really, truly polluting the surface of the table, the squirty juice and the rag was not going to cut it. What you really need was a magic eraser. Now, I don't know if you are familiar with a magic eraser or not, but it is aptly named. It is magic. In fact, I had a freckle on my face, and after a couple of days of the magic eraser, that's a lie. That's actually not true. I did not use the magic eraser on my face. I did, however, use the magic eraser repeatedly this summer on magic marker and glue and all kinds of disgusting things that was truly marring the surface of the table. There is no doubt that we can make good moral decisions, that we can live lives that look good and clean, especially when we compare ourselves to others. That's the squirty juice. as good for crumbs and general messes that we create. When it comes to forgiveness, we need the power of God. We need something special. We need something that actually forgives us of our sin, that has power that we cannot explain, but yet we can put our faith in because we've experienced it. This morning, what the folks who are being baptized are saying is that they have privately, personally, quietly made that profession of faith. They understand that there have been times in their life where they take out the squirty bottle and they wipe the crumbs off the table. And we all do that, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with living a good, clean, moral life. But what the folks who are being baptized today are saying is that Jesus has applied his magic eraser to my sin, and I don't know exactly how it works, but my sin is gone. My life is clean. I am forgiven. And I can't keep that to myself anymore. I wouldn't have been a good helper at Summer Rec if I took the magic eraser and stuck it in my pocket, and they came behind my tables and said, "Josh, you're so amazing. You clean these tables so well." Yes. Yes, I do. Because I am morally superior to all y'all, and that is obvious by my clean tables. The whole time keeping the magic eraser in my pocket. And so we see, finally this morning, by way of conclusion, that what God has made possible and that individuals have made private and personal, that the church makes public. Because Jesus said these words, it's his command to his people, the church. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This morning is about stating publicly that we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, that we have experienced the power and the reality of his forgiveness, even while we continue to struggle with sin, sometimes daily. But even that being the case, we are not placing our faith in our ability to live a morally pure life. We are placing our faith in Jesus Christ's ability to forgive us of our sin. And for that, we are willing to do something public that we are not going to keep to ourselves, in the hopes that someone else might hear this and say, "Oh my goodness, that sounds like good news. That sounds like the gospel. That sounds like something I need." And so I'm going to pray for us this morning. We're going to conclude. We're going to sing one more song. Those of us that are being baptized this morning and assisting in the baptisms, we're going to make our way down to the water. I'd encourage you guys, as you're able and comfortable, it'll just take a few moments for the actual baptisms. We'd love to have you guys join us on the beach at the conclusion of the song. And we're going to make a public profession of faith regarding the scriptures that we've covered this morning and the reality of God's presence in our life. And then we're going to spend as long as we feel like celebrating that fact. That's the point of today. Would you join me as I pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made salvation possible. We pray, Father, even this morning, if there is someone here who has not made a decision of faith privately or personally, that you would, through the power of your Holy Spirit and the public profession of your gospel, make that clear and apparent to them, that even in the midst of celebrating your power to forgive sins, that someone, maybe even for the first time, would experience the forgiveness of sin. Father, we thank you for those who are making public professions of faith this morning and are being baptized. We ask your blessing in their lives. We know that they are taking a step of obedience, that today is a big day. It's a special day. We know, Father, that when we walk obediently in you, that your peace and your joy accompany us. And I pray, Father, that the memories that we create today would carry us through times where we feel distant from you, whether it be decisions that we make that are wrong or things that happen to us that you allow. We pray, Father, that today our faith would be strengthened as we do what the church is supposed to do, which is acknowledge that you make something possible, that you make salvation possible. As individuals, we make salvation personal and private. And as a church, we make the truth of your salvation, your gospel, your good news, public. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.